I wouldn't be doing this show here in this way without this man, without this person. When we first moved to Northern Colorado, my wife and I moved here, and I got involved with, or wanted to get involved with the station here, and was trying to say, well, I didn't know what I was getting into, or how big the station was, how small the station was, but it was Sam Wood, the general manager here, the point person here at the station, who said, no, come, please, we need all the people we can get on the air at this point. Because it was, I mean, how many people were I wouldn't say working, because it's all volunteer, but how many people were here at the station when I was first getting on the air here at Women's Radio?
I would say no more than 10.
Yeah,
when
right.
I first took over, there was 8 people, so there wasn't a whole lot of people there when you first got there.
And then you had a vision for the station. You had this idea that the station could build itself back up from really almost next to nothing, which is where it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so by the time I left, it was over 100 people. Some people, I would say more than half of those people actually had shows, or they were just involved in the radio some other way.
Which is pretty amazing. I mean, and I guess your goal, you pursued that goal by making sure that the radio station was a big part of the campus, that you were there for every event, for everything a dorm was doing, or for any school-related activity. Somebody from UNC Radio there was playing music. Do you think that's what really turned it around?
Oh, yeah. So my first, like you said, my goal was to, you know, make a bigger impact on campus. So the first thing I had to do was rebrand the radio and basically shove it in people's faces that, hey, we're there, and this is what we're all about, and we're student-ran, so we don't really have any rules. Except our own, you know. So, so that's kind of just how it started, and people started to catch on to it. And sure enough, you know, a couple years later, we were 3 figures strong. So,
and
yeah.
And had you not, I mean, honestly, if the university had a brain in its head, it would have kept you here. I know your GPA was kind of low because you put in 60 hours a week at the radio station, so you didn't put into your studies much, but. You know, it would have been cool. You wanted to do a master's here. Would have been nice. But, you know, you're loving the Air Force. Am I right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it would have been nice to stay there. And I still kind of, certain times I get all sad and I want to be there still. But no, you know, things happen for a reason. And so then I ended up joining the Air Force. And that's where I'm at now. And in response to your dad... I have 2 stripes, so I'm an airman first class.
Airman first class. So you came in with
what? I was able to come in with 2 stripes.
Oh, you came in with 2? Wow, okay.
Yep.
So what do you have to do to get that next stripe? Do you have to, like, kill the second-in-command to Bin Laden or something, or what?
No, not that I know of. I think it's just a time thing. I think I just have to be in for another year and a half, and I get that next stripe. And then every stripe after that, you have to test for it. So your dad was a staff sergeant, so before I become a staff sergeant, I have to test for it.
Okay.
And pass it. And
but you just passed? What test did you just pass this week?
I just took a test of my training, and it just says that I'm complete in my training, and I'm good to go with my job, basically.
Oh, okay.
So, yep. Awesome. It was just a test over my job specifically. When I test for staff, it's testing over my job and Air Force stuff in general.
Got it. And by the way, we Sam happened to stop in. It was just a pure serendipity that I was on the air. Sam stopped in when he visited Colorado about 2 weeks ago, and we talked on the air about what he does, which is fueling airplanes, which is kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't... Is it really like just a large, giant version of getting out of your car, pulling the thing off, the hose off, and jamming the hose into a hole? No jokes, please.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, except we drive a truck, and instead of you pulling up to the gas station, we are the mobile gas station. We'll pull up to you and hook up a big 4-inch hose to the aircraft and fill it up. So I'm a glorified gas attendant.
Okay. Oh, hey, it's got to get done.
Yeah.
Have there been any...
I mean,
yeah.
Planes can't go anywhere without the fuel, so we're a big park.
Have there been any funny incidents or accidents or... anything in the fueling or any weird things that happened?
No, and no, that's a good thing there haven't been, because jet fuel is so explosive, so you can't really make mistakes.
Ooh.
And live to tell about it, you know. So I mean, I've heard stories of, you know, you're filling and you get a big fuel spill and stuff like that, or people when they go to fill up their trucks to go issue to the aircraft, that they'll overfill their trucks and all that kind of stuff. So
and what
I've heard
do?
Those stories, but. Well, those people aren't in the Air Force anymore who make those type of mistakes. So.
Well, what do? They throw kitty litter down? I mean, what happens if, God forbid, well, not God forbid, but if you have an accidental spill of oil everywhere? What's...
There's certain, like, they're like rags, but they're not. They're for fuel, so they just soak up the fuel. So you're out there with a bunch of these rags and just soaking it up.
Cool.
About all you can do.
Well, yeah. Well, but happily that hasn't happened to you. And you're saying,
yes.
I think you mentioned last week that you're going to move from driving the thing up to the plane and to being more behind the desk and a computer?
Yeah, so I haven't, I mean, this week I've been out on the flight line working, but my new job is basically working on the computer and taking all the phone calls for the aircraft when they call in to request fuel. I'm the one taking that phone call.
Okay.
And setting it up, and basically I'm an accountant now as well. So I have to account for all the fuel and where it's going and all that kind of stuff.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's different. It's a lot. It's really cool when I don't have to go outside when it's, you know, freezing out.
Wait, aren't you in Texas?
Line. I get the... What's that?
Aren't you in Texas?
No, not anymore. I'm in St. Louis. I'm 20 minutes east of St. Louis.
Okay, well, winter shouldn't be that bad over there.
It's not too bad. It's actually been pretty much like Colorado. You know, you guys had your last really big snowstorm. Well, that came here as well, and that's pretty much it. I mean, it gets cold, but that was our super big snowstorm that we had.
Oh, actually, come to think of it,
this week it's been kind of cold.
When the planes come in and you have to fuel them, are you doing that at 5:30 in the morning, or is it a more like reasonable 10, 11 noonish hour?
It just depends on the plane. It could come in at 5:30 in the morning. It could come in at 2:00.
Oh, okay.
In the afternoon, it just depends on the plane and when they come in.
Cool.
So, but that's enough about me, Dave.
Oh, that's right. You want me to
hit?
Okay. Ask me. You got 5 minutes. Ask me away. Any questions that you want or have? What would you like to know?
First, I want to. Who was the guy that would call right before me?
The guy that
Joe
Salzone.
Salzar. Yeah. So he talked about you not wearing a whole lot of articles of clothing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say to him that doesn't change. You still strip when you do your shows.
That's
true. So many times I walked in and you're just barely wearing any clothing.
That's not true.
That is totally true.
Well, I take my shoes off sometimes. That's about it. What am I not wearing?
And usually I have to get an air freshener after that.
I'm not liking where this interview is going. Okay, so, yeah.
So that's just that. One of my first questions I want to ask you is, what was your favorite show that you had out of all these 500 shows?
Wow, you know, I should have thought of that, because I figured that'd be the question everybody asks.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have a favorite show. I have favorite moments and favorite segments and favorite... In fact, that's how I've structured this whole 500 episode, about picking out favorites. Because the show is so eclectic, it usually isn't like a whole show that I'll remember fondly. It'll be, you know,
right,
bits and pieces here and there. So I kind of happily remember that first Halloween show we did. I think it was our 9th episode, because we had a fairly well-known actress on there, and she was really game. She came in and pre-recorded some skits that we were doing, and I was pretty proud of that. And then I just realized, hey, this is, you know, I just got this New York actress to come all the way on the Long Island Railroad and tape some really silly stuff, you know, and not be offended by it. And that was a signal that, you know, something cool was going on. And then I also remember fairly early on a show we did where the theme was Australia, and I wrote some parody songs, including one about a spastic kangaroo. And I thought, this is, This was kind of just a very, it was themed, and I kind of liked the whole flow of it. So I remember that one fondly. So that, okay, a couple of those early programs I remember very well.
For sure. I remember there's one episode I helped you do, and I remember you were stressing about it a whole lot. And do you remember the Carol Channing show?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's my most memorable Days Gone By show, was that one.
That was cool. That
I remember, how much effort we had to put in to make sure everything was going to work, and all the technology was going to work at the same time, and hopefully she called, and I just remember how stressed you were, which in turn made me stressed. Trying to make your show super go over well and stuff. So,
What's funny is
that.
She did call in. We had a wonderful conversation with her for well over an hour. She was great. It's become one of the famous things that we've done. But if you go listen back, I sound like I'm in an echo chamber through half the show.
Oh my god!
For some reason, we had like feedback going, so there was like, "I'm all, hi, Carol. How are you?" And it's like, "Oh man." But other than that, it went great. And
yeah,
I
remember how long it was, because we weren't expecting it to go that long. You remember that? And yeah, like you said, it was an hour.
Yeah, I thought she would call in for like 20, 30 minutes. But you get Carol Channing talking, and she was on for about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. I do remember that. That's my most memorable.
Cool.
And then earlier, you played the Jeopardy song. Remember that?
Jeopardy Kill.
So, I have a funny story about that. I never told you.
Uh-oh.
You remember when you were the programming manager of the radio station, right?
That's right.
And you had all of your music logged onto the computer and all everything.
Yeah.
Well, I remember coming across the Jeopardy song on there at one point. And as soon as you played it today, I just started laughing because I remember coming across it and then showing everyone I knew at the radio station how weird you were, Dave. Because I was like, oh, this is Dave. This is what he does on his show. You got to listen to it.
Cool.
So there was that one, and there was another one I could not remember, but it was like, well, it was with the Jeopardy song that you had on in the playlist in there, and I just remember playing that one too, and it was super weird. That was the most weird one that I came across.
There was one you were scared of. There was something, it was either the rabbi was doing or it was something else, and you were a little worried about the head of the school.
Yeah.
Kay, we'll just say her name is, but if she came across that, she would shut the radio. What was that? Which one was that?
I think that's that song I'm talking about, is that one. I cannot remember, but yeah, that one was pretty creepy.
I don't remember
all
why
the music
was...
that you have and that you've come up with. It's, I mean, a lot of it's good, but then you come across those weird ones, and you're like, yep, that's Dave.
That's Dave, and that would be me. And I remember it used to infuriate you because what happened was this is before we have the tune tracker thing here and when people aren't live on the air, we have music playing as a lot of stations do, and that's pre-recorded, and it cycles automatically. You put all these songs into a computer and it spits them out and plays them on a playlist. Well, where was I going with this? Uh-oh.
You're probably talking about all the music you loaded on.
Yes, and I was the programming director, so I would laboriously add all these songs, you know, by CD. I wasn't even that compass mentis to just bring a flash stick with MP3s on it. I was loading CDs onto the computer one after the other, and each week I would add more and more. But I started with stuff that I really loved, and I tend to be a completist. So the first few albums that I put on there were by
Bob Dylan.
Right. And you hate Bob Dylan. And every time you put on the station, all you would hear was a Bob Dylan song. And you'd be like, Dave, stop with that Bob Dylan.
Yep.
And I kept telling you that, you know, as long as I keep adding more and more music, the Dylan will shuffle in less and less. But it took weeks. And no matter what, he would still put on the radio. And he'd go, oh, no.
Yep. Still, every once in a while, when I'll listen to your show and I have a Saturday off, and I'll hear Bob Dylan song, I'm like, Dave, what are you doing?
Well, no, I actually do a segment of the show is a Bob Dylan sooner or later segment. I do that every week. So you are going to hear Bob Dylan every week. But
I try to miss that segment.
Really? And I have to admit, when I would see you, when I wasn't doing the show proper, but if I was programming some other stuff or playing some stuff while I was still here, and you were around, I would purposely put on Bob Dylan to piss you off.
Oh, I know. I know.
So one or two more questions. I love being interviewed. This is fun. So you have another one or two for me? Yeah.
Yeah. So how many more episodes? I know you kind of talked about it here and there, but what do you think? How long are you going to keep doing this?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, there was a part of me that said, do 500 and, you know, maybe one or two more, and then that's enough. You know, I haven't gotten syndicated. I haven't been picked up by Sirius XM or anything like that. So, you know, what am I still doing it for? But then I'll do a show like this and love every minute of it. And I'm like, I'm not done yet. Am I going to go 1,000? I doubt that very highly. But I'm trying to think of what another milestone would be, because I mentioned before that 365 was my original one, like one for every day of a year, and then I passed that a long time ago. Now it's 500. I don't know, it might be 15th anniversary, you know, which is only 2 years away, maybe not that long, depends on my, thank God I'm healthy, but who knows. I don't know, it's honestly a question I think about now, really right now. But it's not going to stop anytime that soon, I don't think.
Good. Well, I mean, it could change, too. Like, if you're about to, you know, call it, and then who knows, someone will pick you up, and then your attitude might change towards it. Who knows, you know?
If any radio station in the world, with all due respect to UNCRadio.com that I love, but if any radio station out there wants to pay me, I'm there tomorrow. Bye-bye, Dave Stombye. I'm gone. You know, I'll be morning man at. I'll go into Jeffrey Dahmer's basement and do a show if he pays me.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, I come out of Jeffrey Dahmer's basement, but you know, if he puts some water near the radiator, I'm there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, all power to you.
Thank you, man. Thank you, and thanks to Sam. Wait, who's Randy? I would, or is it L? Who's Randy L. Wood? Is that your dad or your...
Yeah, that's my dad.
Okay, we have caller ID here, by the way, at the radio station. So I'm like, wait a minute, so you're at your folks?
No, it's my cell phone, it's just for them.
Oh, it's under his... Oh, by the way, are you still dating that UNC girl? How's that going?
Yep, it's great. She's actually an athletic trainer for... She's doing the baseball game right now, so...
Neat.
Over there.
Neat. So, and congratulations on that. And that's been going on for, 2 years now, has it been? How long have you been with her?
Almost 2 years. It's getting up there. Our 2 years is in September.
Cool. So, congrats on that.
And you still owe me dinner.
You're right. Well, you don't freaking tell me when you're in town. It was sheer coincidence that I saw you last time, you know?
Right, and I don't even know when I'll be back. I think the earliest I'll be back is going to be in June, July for the Greeley Stampede.
Oh, wow. Okay, are you going to be working it?
I think I'll be helping out like I usually do, but I don't know for sure. I know I'll be doing Air Force stuff as well while I'm there.
Oh, okay.
But, yep.
Well,
but yeah, so that's about it. That's all the big questions I had for you.
Well, unquestionably, it's been great to talk and catch up with, I keep wanting to call you Randy Wood because I'm staring at the phone, but it's Sam Wood, the former general manager of UNCRadio.com, a two-stripe person, what is it, not something first class, it's not a private, what are you?
An airman first class.
So are there privates in the Air Force? And I don't mean under the pants of the flyers.
Yeah, they're not called privates, they're called airmen.
Airmen first class, and it's been first class talking to Sam Wood again here. It feels like old times and very, very happy times they have been here at this radio station for me. That's the other thing that to finish up that other question that I wasn't thinking about. If I can come here and the equipment's working and stuff is recording properly and I'm not getting hassled and stuff, it makes me want to keep doing this for a very long time. It's only if I'm getting, you know, this is broken again, or this doesn't work, or this, you know, and then it takes the wind out of my sails, you know.
Right.
But for now, I'm still very merrily breaking wind, and we'll do
That's
this.
That's good.
as long as I can. Thank you, Sam Wood.
Sorry, I'm not there anymore to fix it. But now you got Matt. So.
I got Matt. Matt's been great, and a real blessing also to this station, as you have been. So it's wonderful to catch up with you. I thank you so much for calling in and doing it. And you know, call back. You know, sometimes I open the phone lines on my regular show. Be great to hear from you.
Yeah, for sure. As long as my Saturdays are open, I'll always still keep listening to you.
Sounds good to me. Thank you, Sam. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye now. Sam Wood here in the Daverhood.